Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But Please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us a very special guest. His name is Terry Anderson, and Terry has his own talk show in Southern California, and actually he's going to be expanding into several other markets here in the immediate future because he has, well, he's got a wonderful way about him. He talks about illegal immigration. He can talk just about anything you want to talk about, a wonderful sense of humor, a wonderful warm way about him. But he shares my concern, and I hope the concern of many of you out there in the listening audience, about the illegal immigration that is coming into America is being aided actively by our government and the Ford Foundation. Its purpose is to disrupt our society, to take jobs away from people who are here legally, organized a minority group that has no loyalty to America, whose loyalty is to another country, isn't interested in adopting our values or our language. That way they can play one group against the other. And, of course, the move today is to actually allow the people who have come in here illegally to reward them with temporary citizen, temporary workers' permits, and then eventually citizenships. If they allow those 12 million people who are here illegally to come in, and each one of them bring three or four of their family members from south of the border, we're talking about close to another 40 million people, and America as we know it will cease to exist. It is all part of this dream of a multicultural society where, of course, the leaders can pit one group against the other. Terry Anderson, thank you so much for being with us.
Dr. Stan, what do you hear? What do you say?
Well, the important thing is they know what I think and what I say. They want to hear what you have to say. So why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and how it came that you started doing talk radio and really one of the most popular conservative commentators in Southern California.
Well, you know, Doc, it was a strange odyssey. I was a mechanic right here in South Central L.A. I used to restore vintage automobiles, and I looked around and saw what was going on with the illegal immigration, and I got kind of, antsy. I said, well, I guess somebody will fix this. Well, guess what? Nobody did, and it got worse and worse and worse right here in the inner city, and I decided, you know what? You better get involved. I've never gotten involved in anything in my life, but I got involved in this, and I called a few talk shows. George Putnam, I'm sure you know who that is.
Oh, sure.
And George and I became friends, and we see each other quite often, and from there, I became a guest on his show from time to time, and I'd go sit in on the show, and one day he said, you know, you need to get on the radio. So he arranged it, and I got on. I've been on almost 4 years. We're on in L.A., Phoenix, Austin, Texas, Las Vegas, Boston, Massachusetts, Fort Wayne. We're on in 8 different cities across the country, and the show is just growing like crazy.
I'm so glad, and I think it's so important that we do expand. And I think what we have to realize is none of us are alone. We're all in this together. We're all trying to save America. And so with Terry there and other friends we have that are using access to radio, because that's really the only means we have of reaching the people today. The major television networks have been purchased by the establishment. They're buying up the radio stations as rapidly as they can and taking them away from the talk sort of radio that will inform the people. They don't want the American people to know what's happening. They want to keep us dumbed down. And in fact, you can go over to Europe. People there know a lot more about what's going on in America today than the average American does.
Isn't that amazing?
In fact, I just had a fellow call from Denmark on my afternoon program, listens to our internet programs, and he was well aware of what was going on here, and I would say he knows far more than the average American who has been dumbed down by the controlled media. Well, that's really exciting, Terry. I didn't realize. I knew you were on a couple of other areas outside of L.A., but I'm glad these other areas are coming online as well.
Yeah, we're doing great, and let me tell you why. It's not me. I'm not the world's greatest talk show host. I've got as much gift to gab as anybody else, I guess, but the main thing is the message, and people want to know, you know, where were you? How come we didn't hear about you? What's going on? People are hungry to talk about this issue. You know, I've had callers from all 50 states. We're also on the internet. We're on CRN. That's a cable radio network. And we get calls from all 50 states. And I'm going to tell you something, Doc. These people are angry from Hawaii to Alaska to the tip of Florida and up to the top of Maine. They're angry about illegal immigration because they see their culture changing. Multiculturalism and diversity have become four-letter words in our society. People are sick of them. I'm sick of them. I'm a black man. I don't care anything about multiculturalism. I want one culture here. Now, I know this may sound routine and corny and whatever you want to call it, but I want one culture. I want the American culture that I had as a child. And all of us Americans, regardless of our backgrounds, where we came from, what country we immigrated from, or what race we happen to be born, we share that culture. Now, some of us like hot dogs. Some of us like hamburgers. Some people even put ketchup on their hot dogs. I think that's detestable. But we still eat the hot dog. And that's what I'm talking about. We're Americans. We all share the same basic culture. And now what they're doing, they're bringing in foreign cultures, making them mainstream, so that now American people are starting to feel like minorities in their own country. That's why I call myself the prisoner of South Central. I live in South Central L.A., and I'm going to tell you something. I don't feel like this is my home anymore. People on both sides of me don't speak English. There's an apartment building across the street just got sold to people that had about 15 kids. They came in and it's a duplex. They came in with people to fit in every room already when they bought it. And I mean, there must be 40 people that are going to live in a duplex. It's unbelievable what's happening. No parking anymore. We got chickens on the street. We got goats on the street now. We got corn growing in the front yard 8 feet high. We got people hanging their laundry on the front fence. We got people who urinate in the street. Now, we got things here that we never had before, and it is a cultural thing. It's not racial. It's cultural, because these people come from a culture where these things were accepted.
And this is what the average American doesn't understand, is that this didn't happen by accident.
No.
This is long-range planning, going back to 1965 when they changed the McCarran Immigration Act, which was aimed at trying to keep some sort of a continuity on the culture of our society. I mean, it didn't matter about race. You can have people who are Chinese or Vietnamese or brown or black or red. As long as they accept the culture and they want to be part of the society and learn the language and be one with us, that's wonderful, and they can
be
welcome.
We had a European culture in this country that worked for us, and I'm not ashamed of that. I have no problem with that. It's a great culture, and I hope that we can continue. But this new culture that's coming in, you know, you just mentioned that this wasn't by accident. This was a plan, and might I add, a brilliant plan.
Yes.
A brilliant plan that has worked like we never thought it would. I mean, it's really working, and we're gonna lose this if we don't do something to stop these people with this brilliant plan.
Well, of course, I like to refer to it as sort of a diabolically brilliant.
Well,
it's brilliant, but it's diabolical
thing.
As well.
Same thing, absolutely.
And really, of course, you as a spokesman, of course, you can say a lot of things that I can't say because I happen to have white skin, and people would call me a racist. Pretty hard to call you a racist.
Oh, it's pretty hard. My great-grandfather was a slave. His wife, he married a full-blooded Cherokee. So, you know, I kind of can fend off that one. But it's sad that you can't say what I can say, but it's the way it is now, and I am very happy to step up and say it for you. I have no problem with that. I'll step up and be your spokesperson. I was in Las Vegas last week. I did a Mark Edwards show there. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
No, I really don't. Has he got a pretty good
listening audience? Oh, he's a great guy. He's on KDON there, 7:20 a.m. He's on from 10 to 2 in the morning. And he's a great guy, and this guy is 74 years old, and he talks about immigration with the same passion that I do and you do and a lot of other people. But the thing about him is he's out here in the middle of the desert. I never heard of him, and he had never heard of me. And a lot of people had never heard of each other. Well, now we're together. He knows about me. I know about him. I was in Vegas to do his show. I went there to do some business for the station we're on there. We're on the same station. But I did his show while I was there, and I got to know him. Now I've got that contact. You and I know each other. I know Glenn Spencer down at the border. I've got people in Massachusetts now that I'm talking to every week, and people in Florida and Kentucky and Indiana. I've got people all over this country now who are coming to me with their stories. And most of them are horror stories. I mean, but they're coming to me with these stories and telling me that they thought that they were all alone, and they're not.
Well, I think that the most carefully kept secret in this country today is that most people are good people and they love America.
Good America.
And they want to keep this country as it was. But the elite gives us this feeling, well, you must be some sort of an oddball. And, of course, if you get on, you know, a lot of radio stations, some radio stations, not yours or mine, you know, and you try to get the truth out, why you immediately get attacked and demonized and vilified. And, tragically, most people would rather switch than fight. They'd much rather run for cover and apologize or just just they won't call back in again because they can't take the heat. But people have to learn how to be able to stand up for what they believe in. And I always like to say, if you're not willing to stand up now on your feet and say no, there may come a time when you'll be on your knees saying yes. So,
well, you know, even on the station I'm on here in L.A., KRLA, you're not allowed to speak out against President Bush when he does something. None of the hosts will allow that. And I'm not what you'd call a Bush basher, but Bush was wrong when he talked about a guest worker program in January. And I say it all the time. You cannot get around the fact that he was dead wrong on this. Now, anybody who would defend that and say he was right is wrong. And if you call these talk shows, and I'm not going to mention the names of the guys, but they're pretty mainstream guys. They won't allow you to talk against illegal immigration because most of them, and they call themselves conservative Republicans, most of them are pro open border. It's amazing to me. They call themselves Republicans, they're more like libertarians. And that's just amazing to me. And that's the general talk that you will hear on talk radio in LA. Now you've got John and Ken here, they're starting to speak out, and you got Al Rantel on KBC. These people will speak out about it, and John Spring and a few others, George Putnam naturally. But most of them won't take this issue seriously enough to make it a mainstream issue. And Doc, let me tell you this. If we don't push this to the front of our agendas, and I mean, we've got China, we've got the New World Order, we've got a thousand things, we've got the war, but I'm going to tell you something. This is eating away at us like gangrene. These people are coming here, 1 million a year illegally. We've got between 10 and 15 million illegal aliens here. I've heard as many as 20 million illegal aliens in this country. They're having their what we call jackpot babies. They're having these babies who shouldn't be American citizens, but we're recognizing them as American citizens. And guess what? They, when they turn 18, can bring the whole family in here from Mexico or El Salvador or Greenland or wherever they come from. So now we've got all these family reunification people that will multiply that number 10 times what it was. And if we don't do something about that, our whole culture is going to change. I watched a concert last night on Showtime with George Lopez. Didn't want to see it, but I monitor this guy because he's a racist. And I've heard some of the most blatantly racist statements out of this man I've ever heard out of any comedian. And he said, we are 39 million and we are growing. And he said this with great, great pride. Well, I don't care how many black people are in this country. It doesn't matter to me if there's 1 million black people in this country or 100 million. It doesn't matter as long as they're Americans. But this man is driven by race. I'm driven by my nationality.
Well, one of the problems we have is that the average American doesn't understand that this is being financed by the Ford Foundation. And until people understand that there are people of great wealth who have a different agenda, and people say, oh, well, that's just a foundation. That has nothing to do with Henry Ford. Well, let me tell you, Henry Ford knew exactly what he was doing when he set up that foundation and put the people on it to perpetuate his ideas. And, of course, the Ford Foundation is financing LULAC and Maldave and LaRue and all of these organizations that are formed to push illegal immigration. I mean, to defend illegal immigrants, to help illegal immigrants.
And it's not just the Ford Foundation. They are just as guilty as you say they are, and more. But it's General Motors, Toyota. You've got mainstream companies. Look at the list. Go and look at MALDEF's contributors. You will see companies on there that you buy products from every day, and they are contributing. These big banks are contributing. These food companies are contributing. They are these automotive companies. They're all giving money to these organizations that are basically racist. And if you think these organizations aren't racist, let's listen to the names: Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund, National Council of the Race. I mean, you know what I mean? League of United Latin American Citizens, and then Mecha. You've heard their motto. Por la raza todo, fuera de la raza nada. For the race, everything. For those outside the race, nothing. And these are the organizations that these people are giving money to. These are racist, blatantly racist organizations.
Well, I'm glad that you can say that, and I would call them that as well, because I think we have to call a spade a spade.
Absolutely.
America is under attack today with illegal immigration, as Terry Anderson states. It's being funded certainly by many of our great corporations, and you have to understand that these are not American corporations. These are global corporations who have no loyalty to this country, but of course are dedicated to this dream of creating this one world government, and it all fits together, certainly illegal immigration, that is an important part of it, and what's happening to our educational system and the dumbing down of our children and destroying their love that every child, every American should have for our way of life, is another part of it. And the war of Iraq is the great distraction as we've watched the flag-draped coffins coming home and hear about the atrocities committed over there. And while we keep our attention focused overseas, we're losing America here at home.
We had our talk show host here, Hispanic. His name was Xavier, I believe it was Hermosillo, I can't remember. He's off the radio now. You know what he said on the air? This was about 10 years ago. He said we, and I guess he was referring to Hispanics, he said we are going to take back Los Angeles house by house, block by block. That was his exact words. He said this on the air on KMPC radio here. Now, you know what? This guy was right. Every single house that gets bought in Los Angeles in my neighborhood now is bought by a newly arrived Hispanic family who speaks no English. Now, I'm assuming those people are here illegally. And our government has set it up with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and other organizations to get these people loans without asking them about their residency, their legal or illegal residency in this country. That is against the laws of the United States to aid and abet criminal activity. Right in the immigration statutes, it says anybody that gives shelter, housing, employment to illegal aliens is guilty of a felony, and these organizations are doing it. And they are. Jack Kemp was one of the first ones to get these people into the HUD housing. I mean, this guy was a Republican.
Well, don't get me started on Jack Kemp. There are a lot of people, you know, who say one thing and do another, and you never judge a person by what he says. You watch and see what he does. And Jack Kemp, of course, I believe, has compromised whatever principles he ever had, whatever conservative and American principles he has. And he's getting a couple of $100,000 a year, giving speeches all over the country. He was part of an organization with Gene Kirkpatrick and William Bennett, and I've even forgotten the name of it, but he was getting a big sum of money from them. And the whole philosophy was really to attack any of the traditional values that we have. So, but the average individual doesn't know that, and certainly they're not going to hear that from the mainline media. Now, one of the things that really bothers me, Terry, is what's happening to our health care delivery system, because the government, in its wisdom, has passed laws saying if anybody comes to a hospital, they have to be treated. Now, it doesn't matter that they're here illegally. It doesn't matter that they violated our laws to come here. We are compassionate, and you're going to have to take care of them, but you're going to have to pay for it yourself, you hospital manager, and you're going to have to then pass the cost of taking care of these illegal immigrants on to the rest of the American people who are here legally, and they're going to have to pay for the illegal immigrants. And actually, I know I've heard this, and maybe you can confirm or deny, but in Mexico, if somebody comes into the hospital there and they have a serious injury and no insurance, they'll just put them in an ambulance and ship them into Los Angeles so that we can pay for their health care, and we are financing the health care.
And Doc, guess what? I don't blame them. That's what we should be doing. We should be doing the same thing. I have no problem with them doing that, but we should be doing the same thing. The only thing I have a problem with is their hypocrisy. But let me tell you what a congresswoman, her name is Joanne Davis, I don't know what state she's from. You know what she said yesterday? She said that our hospitals in this country should be charging these countries that we give aid to their people. In other words, what we should do, if we give aid to a country, we should deduct the hospital care that we did for those people's citizens while in this country from the aid that we give to these countries. Now, I wouldn't give aid to anybody if I was in charge. But if we are going to give it, we should be deducting this hospital care from the aid that we send to these countries. And we're not doing that. This was a brilliant idea that she came up with. Her name is Joanne Davis.
All right. We're going to be back in just a few minutes after this break here. And we welcome your calls from out across America. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening is Terry Anderson, who's a talk show host, and he's being heard increasingly all across America, and his message is a powerful one. He has that wonderful ability to project ideas and to actually get people thinking and using humor and just good common sense, something that a lot of our very erudite talk show hosts don't seem to have very much of these days. Why, he's really having an impact on the thought of people across America as the fact that America is being invaded from south of the border. The Bush administration, which is so concerned about the threat of terrorism and these wicked terrorists, they could come here and they could blow up. Oh, they can do terrible things. But if they're really concerned about the threat of Islamic terrorism, why haven't they made any sincere effort to close our borders? And they have not. In fact, they're doing everything they can to block an effective approach to closing our borders. And of course, we could talk about the fact that if there was really a war on terrorism, we would have certainly insisted that all pilots be armed. The Bush administration is doing everything they can to block the arming of our airline pilots. Why would they do that if there's really a threat of terrorism? And why wouldn't they insist that there were marshals on every plane? And why wouldn't they have put decoys or protection mechanisms on our planes in case the wicked terrorists who sneak across our border had a surface-to-air missile? All you have to do is bring down a couple of airplanes, you totally disrupt traffic in the West. And well, maybe it's the fact that the Bush administration really isn't as worried about Islamic terrorism. They want us to believe they are. Either that or they're totally incompetent. But maybe they're using the threat of Islamic terrorism as a decoy to take our attention off of many of the other things that are happening in the way of increased government control and surveillance, not of the Islamic terrorists, but of the law-abiding citizens of this country. So we'll just ask your thoughts on that. And, of course, with us is Terry Anderson. And we're getting his views on this. Now, I understand, Terry, that there's some sort of legislation that's out there that was going to address this problem, which is really bankrupting so many of our hospitals down along the border. A lot of them are even having to close, aren't they?
A lot of them have closed. We've closed, like, I think, four or five last year, just bankrupt. I mean, and most of this was illegal aliens coming to this country using the emergency room as their primary physician and running up the cost of the medical services where these people could not stay in business. Now, that's sad. Now you've got American people in these communities now that cannot get medical help. That's pitiful. And something's got to be done about it.
And, of course, where is Congress? I mean, Congress mandated that the hospitals, it's first of all, it's no business of the federal government what the hospital does in its area. But in their wisdom, they've mandated the hospitals take care of them and provided no funds to help. And that, of course, is unconscionable.
That is unbelievable.
And, of course, I don't think that they should come up with the funds. I don't think they should mandate it. And I think that there's a lot of human compassion out here. In fact, at one time, why every county was responsible for indigent people and people who didn't have any money. But, you know, the thing is that, why are we providing free health care for people who have broken our laws and coming here? Now, wasn't there some legislation that was put out that would require the hospitals to report illegal aliens in their hospitals? And what's happening to that legislation?
That was House Bill, I believe, 3722. That was Dana Rohrabacher's bill, and it was voted down. It was voted down 3-1.
And so that's, of course, you have to understand our congressmen are going right along with this, that the last thing the congressmen want is for you to know how they vote.
That's right.
Why they put in the McCain-Feingold bill. Had nothing to do with soft money. It had to do with keeping you from knowing how your congressman's voting. We'll be right back here in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Terry Anderson, and we're talking about illegal immigration. Now, if you're out there across America, why don't you give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Because this is increasingly becoming a problem. Now, right now, the people in the northern part of our country aren't as aware of it as people are in the southern California, certainly along the border in Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. But the illegal immigrants are moving in massive numbers. You're talking about, whether it's 8 million or 10 million or 15 million. Nobody knows, but we know there are an awful lot of them. The government will admit 8 million, and the government never tells the truth anyway, so it's probably half again that many. And well, this idea that they were going to be allowed to, this is the last time, I remember in 86 when they said, we're just going to make everybody here illegally legal now, but we'll never do this again. Now we're really clamped down on illegal immigration. And, you know, the people really believed what the government said in 86, and, it's been, and now they're doing it again. But you got to believe us, this is absolutely the last time we're going to do that. It's sort of like, we can guarantee you your Social Security number will never be used for anything other than Social Security. It will never be used as an identification number. That's in the law. You don't have to worry. The government is not trying to number the citizens. And anybody who believed that back in the 30s was simply lied to. But you tell a big lie often enough, why it's amazing how many gullible people will believe. Well, you know, when we went to the break, Terry was talking about the legislation that had been put forward by Dana Raubacher, that a hospital that was providing health care and medical service for somebody who was here illegally, an illegal immigrant, should report that to the immigration office and to the local police authorities. And you say it was voted down 3-1, Terry?
It was 3-1, and let me tell you something. What possible... How could anybody talk against this bill? What basis would they use? First of all, the people are in the country illegally, right, Doc? They're here illegally. Now, okay, so we're not supposed to be, aiding and abetting illegal aliens and their activities, so therefore, that's two strikes. And the third strike is this, they're going broke. Now, who can talk against them? They didn't say not to treat them. They said, we will treat the person, but we will get their information and turn it over to the INS so they can be checked with later on. How can you go against that? How can you be a law-abiding country and go against the principles of that bill? It was a brilliant bill, and I applaud Dana for it. I really do. But let me say something. We have become a lawless country. We are becoming increasingly more lawless every day because we're looking the other way with this law, with that law. Look at Special Order 40 here in Los Angeles. Special Order 40 forbids the LAPD from asking about a person's status in this country. If you pull a guy over, he's got no license, he's got no registration, he's got no insurance, he's got no tags on his car, and he speaks no English, and he cannot tell you where he's going and where he's coming from. You cannot, even though you suspect this guy may be an illegal alien, you cannot ask him unless he commits a crime. And let me tell you, that goes a step further, Doc. I have heard from police officers who email me anonymously, of course, and tell me stories about how they arrested guys who were known gang members, arrested them for murder. The guys did their time for murder, 10 years, whatever, and were deported. Were deported back to the country of origin and came back to this country. They see the guy on the street. They've dealt with this guy for 10 years. They know who he is by sight. They see this illegal alien on the street who has been convicted of murder but served his time. And guess what? Even though that man has been barred from this country for life, they cannot arrest him because he is only here violating an immigration statute and he is not wanted for a felony. They cannot arrest this man and he is free to go on and commit murder once again. Now you tell me, is that ridiculous?
Well, it's not ridiculous. I think it's diabolical. I think that there are people who have put these laws in to stymie doing what would be, what should be done. And until the American people begin to understand that they're being betrayed by people in the key positions in government who have a different agenda. This is the reason they have done everything they could to have one nation with one language. In other words, to make English the official language of this country. Why should anybody object to having a one language country? Well, there's some people who want to be able to play American against American, or Americans against another racial group. This is what they've done so effectively in Canada, as they played the English-speaking Canadians against the French-speaking Canadians. It works very well. You divide, you conquer, you control. It's about time the American people understand that back in 1988, Senator Hayakawa, who's a Japanese-American, wanted to make English the official language of this country, and it was blocked at every turn. A United States senator couldn't get any place. Why? Because there's another agenda out there. And you better understand that agenda, or one of these days, why you may have to learn how to speak an entirely different language, either to stay here, or you may have to, as one of them said, if you're an Anglo, why, you better think about going back to Europe, where you belong. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Terry Anderson. We're talking about the problem of illegal immigration here in the United States. And certainly people will point out, well, we're a nation of immigrants. I mean, why are you against immigration? And, of course, what they're doing is very, very cleverly changing the issue. This is not about immigration. I think that a logical approach to immigration is fine, and we can accept a certain number of people as long as we have jobs for them, and they're not going to come in here and go on welfare. But we're talking not about legal immigration, abiding by the laws of this country. We're talking about illegal immigration. We're talking about an organized plan to change America forever. And this is where we're getting into problems, is that there are people who have a different vision of America, and they're doing a great job of destroying the infrastructure of this country. And because one of the things that really bothers me, Terry, is a lot of the people will come there from south of the border, you know, where probably if they can make $10-$15 a day, they'd feel great. They'll come up here, and they'll undercut the people who are here legally, whether it's working in the fields or anywhere else, and driving down the wage scale for people who are here legally. What are your thoughts on that?
You won't find any Americans in the city of Los Angeles, and not too many in the state of California, still doing roofing, drywalling, framing, bricklaying, concrete work, body and fender. All that's gone. I was in the body and fender business back in the 70s. Every body and fender man in the city of Los Angeles was an American. Most of them were black. They were making between $22 and $25 an hour. You won't find a black or white or Asian or even an American Hispanic body and fender man in the city of Los Angeles now. They are all Hispanic, non-English speaking, and the top wage is $10. Now, I ask you, when they tell you that they only come in and do the jobs Americans don't want to do, don't you think there's some body and fender men that would like to be making $25 an hour again, or whatever the adjustment for inflation would be? Would probably be about $40 an hour now in 2004. This was the price 30 years ago. And now the price has gone down to a third of what these guys were making. Now how can you justify that? You can justify it by telling people the truth, and the truth is they have flooded in here with tons of cheap labor, more than we need, and therefore the body shop owners love it. And he's not passing that savings on to you. That money's going in his pocket. So what I don't understand is why we don't see what's happening to the American worker. You will not find this going on in states where this invasion has not begun. And as far as them doing the jobs that Americans won't do, you can go to North Dakota right now, you can go to Maine, you can go to New Hampshire, and guess what? You can get your bed made, you can get your table bussed, you can get your car washed, you can get your house cleaned, you can get your lawn cut, you can get all these things done by an American citizen because the invasion has not begun there. I went to Manchester, New Hampshire a few years ago, and I went to McDonald's, and it was all Americans there.
Hold the thought, and we'll be right back here. Okay, this is Dr. Stan, and with us this evening on Radio Liberty is Terry Anderson. We're talking about, of course, the invasion that is taking jobs away from the American citizens. And, of course, if they're going to compete, the Americans who are here legally are going to compete, they're going to have to progressively lower their wage standards and their living standards, and that's what this is really all about. If you've read the master plan, and it is in something called the Global Biodiversity Assessment, it is a report that came out of the Second Earth Summit back in 1992, put together by the financial ruling elite of the world. The whole plan was laid out on Prince Charles's yacht, the Britannia, back prior to that 1992 meeting. And then they went in, and of course they came out with all of these plans on sustainable development and the Kyoto Protocol and the Desertification Treaty and so many of the climate change treaty. But one of the things that they talk about, if you read the Global Biodiversity Assessment, is that if we're going to have 6 billion people on the earth, why they're going to have to live at the level of the Eastern European peasant. Well, if you've ever been in Eastern Europe, why you're going to find a pretty low living standard. So what this is really all about, although they can't tell the American people, because some of them would be infuriated if they realize this is all a plan by the very wealthy. Now, you're not going to change their living standards. It's simply that of the average American. But the plan was to lower the living standards of the American people, and that's why we're shipping our jobs overseas, why we're shipping our industries overseas, why we're destroying the value of our currency. But here's the other thing, is what we're doing to the job rates. And So what's happening to all these fellas, Terry, who were doing the body and fender work before?
A lot of them are unemployed. A lot of them have moved back down south where their families are from, where there may have been some land down there they can go live on. There's a huge exodus to the south by black folks now. And a lot of them have moved out of the city. And in the city now, every single house that's here is sold to newly arrived Hispanic people. Black people can't even buy a house here anymore. It's unbelievable. The Hispanic companies won't sell houses to us. Now, if this was white people doing this to us, we would be in an uproar, and we'd have the NAACP marching on the city hall. But no, we're not saying anything as a people because we perceive these people as minorities like us, and therefore we're not going to say anything. You know what I tell black people all the time? I tell them, your leaders, your black leaders, are talking in terms of minorities and people of color. The Hispanic leaders are talking about Hispanics. So why are we looking out for them? Now, I'm not trying to divide interracial groups here. What I'm telling you is we are left on our own, but we're embracing them, and I don't understand it. And these are some of the most, their leaders are for the matricula consular card, which is a card only illegal aliens use. They want driver's licenses for illegal aliens. They want in-state tuition for illegal aliens. The Hispanic politicians are the ones who push for all of this stuff. Why is that? Because the people they're pushing for look like them, speak the same language, and have the same loyalty to the same country, which is not America. Why are we embracing people that have those kinds of values? I don't get it.
Well, one of the most incredible things here in California is the fact that if you are here as an illegal alien, and you're here in the state of California, you can go to a university and get, even though they know you're illegal, you get a special reduced rate to go to college. Whereas if you are an American citizen and your mother and dad were American citizens and your grandparents were American citizens and you come from Nevada to California, you're going to have to pay an exorbitant rate to go to a state university because you're not going to be subsidized. But we are actively subsidized illegal aliens in our institutions of higher learning, and I don't know that that's really higher learning or stupid learning. Maybe the best thing is to have them go there and dumb them down, because you'll learn a lot more by reading the encyclopedia that is real than you will certainly by going to our universities here. But what we are doing, and I think it's time people understood, we are actively subsidizing people who are breaking our laws, and you can't be this dumb by accident. And whether it's Governor Davis, Gray Davis, or whether it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, Arnold's not speaking out on this subject. Everywhere the conservatives, the Republican Party, they all are swarming around Arnold because he's such a great advantage over Gray Davis, who was a big spender. And Arnold came in with a budget, I think it was about $1 billion less than Gray Davis. We got impeached Gray Davis, and of course we applaud Arnold Schwarzenegger because, of course, he's so handsome and he's so conservative.
Is he handsome?
Well, at least there are a lot of people that think he is. Terry, what are your thoughts about what's going on with Arnold? What is he doing about illegal immigration?
Arnold's a sellout. Let me tell you what Arnold did. When Gray Davis signed the bill to give driver's licenses to illegal aliens, Arnold condemned him for it. Okay, Arnold won the recall. We recalled him, and Arnold won the recall election, and he became the governor. He immediately started hemming and hawing on the driver's licenses for illegal aliens. He said he would repeal it, and he did repeal it. But here's how he repealed it. He went to the Hispanic caucus and says, "I'll repeal this. You guys vote for it. We'll get something later that'll be more acceptable to the American people." Well, guess what? Californians don't want driver's licenses for illegal aliens under any conditions. And we went out and got 600,000 signatures to prove that. And when they saw those signatures, even the racist Hispanic caucus voted to repeal the law. The ones who put it in voted to repeal it because they knew once it got into our hands this March, we would have voted it down and they wouldn't have been able to ever do it again. Okay, they didn't want that. So they repealed it immediately, and now Arnold is getting ready to sign a new one. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. He said, "Well, all we need is a background check to make sure these people are who they say they are." They're in the country illegal, Arnold. And if you do the background check, you're going to find that out. Now, how do you give a driver's license to somebody who is already in the country illegally? How do you do that?
Well, I think, of course, the one thing that they did not want was for you to get an initiative on the ballot.
They don't want the power in the hands of the people.
Right. And that's the last thing they want. Well, let's go to Roger, who's calling us here from Allentown, Pennsylvania. And incidentally, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. If you agree, you disagree, love to hear from you. But right now, let's go to Roger from Allentown. Hi, Roger.
Yeah, hi, Jensen. Thanks. And once again, Dr. Stan gets only the best. As I heard you were just once, Terry, not quite a year ago, and I think it was a Sunday night, 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern, on shortwave, and I just remember it was like, I didn't think it was possible for anybody, black, white, or plaid, to do such an outstanding good job as you were doing on that show.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
And I didn't know if it was just a one-off gratis, somebody was asleep or whatever, but I looked for it for weeks after that, and that was it.
We have been on the air now. We've been on the air now for this is our fourth year, and we do it every Sunday night. We're on at 8 o'clock Pacific, but we're going to 9 o'clock on the 20th. That's a long story I won't get into, but you know you can get us. Where you're in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I'm hoping you can get a shortwave block once a week.
We were on there for a while. They put us on. They took us off. But we're on cable radio network. Do you have cable TV or satellite TV?
None of the above.
Okay. Well.
What is this cable network TV?
Cable radio network is they you can hear us on cable television, just the audio, and you can also hear us on satellite TV. It'll be like a blank station or maybe the SAP or something, but we are on stations all over this country. We get callers from Rhode Island and Vermont who listen to us on CRN.
And CRN, that's
cable radio network.
Cable radio, okay, yeah. Fine. Do they operate out of Southern California?
Yeah, they're out of Sunland, California, which is the valley right down here in Southern California.
Well, I think that's great. So, did you have a question at all, Roger?
That's just it. God bless.
All right,
thank you, Roger. I appreciate it.
All right, fine. And you say that's Sunland?
Southern California, yeah.
Sunland.
Right.
Never heard of it. But then there's lots of things I've never heard of. Anyway, if you're out there in the listening audience, why give us a call? We'd love to hear from you. And if you have a question for Terry, but I think it's important that people understand that America is being invaded today. And this is being done intentionally. It's being done maliciously. The people who are doing this intend to change America from what we were, from a Christian nation based upon Western civilization, into a multicultural society. They're encouraging people from the Muslim faith to come in here, allowing them, of course, to treat this radical form of Islam and recruit their terrorists right here in this country. And then, of course, bringing all the illegals in. We got all sorts of problems. In fact, I go to Los Angeles, and I turn on the television in my hotel room, and I hear more languages spoken than there's Vietnamese stations, and there's Chinese stations, and there's Spanish stations, and there's hardly an English-speaking station today.
There are 21 foreign language stations on the radio, AM and FM, right now in L.A.
21.
Most of I think 17 are Spanish. I think we have two Korean, one Chinese, and a couple of Arabic. Yep.
Well, see, the whole plan is to change the demographics of our society. They know what they're doing. They sure don't want the American people to know. And the last thing they want the American people to know is there's a plan to redistribute the wealth within this country and redistribute the wealth between nations. That's what it's really all about. But, of course, most Americans would be rather angry to know that in addition to the foreign aid we're already giving, they have other plans to redistribute our wealth. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, here on the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Now, how far north is the invasion gone? I know that we have a lot of illegal immigrants here in the Farm Belt in our region over in Salinas area, but is it getting into Northern California, Oregon, and Washington yet?
Eastern Washington, Spokane area is just overwhelmed because of the apple industry. Northern California, well, the San Joaquin Valley is just, I mean, that's just over with. One of the prettiest places in the world. That's just overrun with illegal aliens. And I'm talking Fresno, Tulare, Bakersfield, from Bakersfield all the way to Stockton. It's just horrible. And now Las Vegas is one of the huge, huge stops for illegal aliens. Also Reno. And Salt Lake City has a huge problem. That's why Matt Throckmorton up there, I don't know if you know who he is, Matt Throckmorton is running against Chris Cannon, another Republican who is for open borders, for amnesty and everything else, and these people in Salt Lake City are sick of it. They're sick of it, so they're trying to do something now. I'm getting calls from Omaha, Des Moines, Indianapolis is having a huge problem. But one of the biggest problems we have right now is the Carolinas. North and South Carolina are just overrun with illegal aliens, mostly from Mexico.
No kidding. In fact, they're really moving in there. Of course, the Carolinas have a lot of industry in there.
Yes, and carpet mills. They got carpet mills. They make a lot of furniture there. They make appliances there. And they are just being overrun, as is Virginia. And the Washington, D.C. area, if you drive through Washington, D.C. now, Doc, you will see so many Mexicans and Salvadorans that you would not believe you are in the nation's capital.
Well, now, a lot of the people coming in from the countries even south of Mexico, coming in from Central America?
Yes. Honduras, Guatemala, Costa Rica, just unbelievable amounts.
Now, what are the welfare benefits that are available to people who come in here illegally? Is there any way they can get food stamps or the other goodies that we offer people for not working?
You mean the illegal aliens?
Yes.
It's a very stringent policy for them. It's very hard for them to get it. They have to show up and have one thing and one thing only, and that's a pulse. If they've got a pulse, they can get it. And anybody that tells you they're not getting it is a liar. These people are getting it. I've got people at the welfare offices who call me and tell me, social services offices who call me and tell me about what these people are getting. If they go into a social service office and say they're new in the country, where they have no documents, are you illegal? No, I'm here legally, but I don't have any way to prove it. Okay, we'll give it to you.
Now, what about housing? What about the, you mentioned earlier that they're actually able to get subsidized housing as well?
Fannie Mae, Section 8 housing right away. They can get that. It's a little harder for them to get because they do have to have an American-born child. That falls under the 14th Amendment, and those kids are considered American citizens if they're born on this soil. And they can get subsidized housing based on that. Now, once they get that, suppose the woman came in here with three illegal alien children, well, she's going to get paid for those too, but the housing is on the American-born child. So, but still, she can still get the WIC. She can get food stamps based on all four kids. She can get the WIC based on all four kids. She can get a county check based on all four kids, and she gets the housing based on the American child.
Well, now, what about the illegal alien children going to schools? Of course, this is one of the things that's really concerning because, you know, every child in schools here in California, I think it costs $8,000 or $9,000 a year. Are illegal alien children allowed to register in our schools?
Yes. Don't ask, don't tell. Can't ask, don't tell.
Well, this, of course, you know, is one reason why the cost of our education is going up so high. And I've heard that, you know, this is a terrible problem down there. And in the Los Angeles area, you're having a terrible problem with your schools. There's so many children coming in illegally. It's just flooding the schools.
Let me tell you what's happened here, Doc. You're not going to believe this. Between 2002 and 2012, the L.A. City Schools are building 160 schools. Now, just keep that number in mind, 160 schools. Let me back up a little bit. In the early 80s, we were closing schools in Los Angeles because of under-enrollment. Not a lot of them, but some of the schools are being consolidated, three schools into two, four schools into three, because the schools just weren't being filled up, so they wanted to conserve money, which is, you know, the smart way to do business. Well, guess what? All of those schools are busting at the seams now since this invasion took off in the 80s, and we have to build 160 schools in 10 years from 2002 to 2012. We are trying to get 160,000 school seats. Now, if we accomplish that by 2012, we will be 44,000 seats behind the day the last school is built. 44,000 seats behind. And they are building schools on one-acre plots, two-acre plots, three-acre plots. They're building them vertically up into the sky, something we've never done here in Los Angeles. They're putting schools with basement classrooms now. They're putting them in public parks, using parkland. They're doing everything they can to accommodate these people. And people say, well, you can't tell if somebody's illegal. Well, where are these people coming from? 66% of every child born in L.A. County hospitals in 2002 was born to a mother that was in this country illegally. Two-thirds of every child that born in L.A. County hospitals in 2002, their mother was illegally in the country.
And isn't L.A. County Hospital, used to be one of the great county hospitals of the country.
They were beautiful.
Aren't they really having a real financial problem?
Horrible.
Because of this explosion of people here illegally being actually fostered and encouraged by our own government. That's what's so incredible and the average individual has no idea what's happening.
And both parties.
Amen to that. The leadership of both parties is selling us out, and until the American people realize they give you Socialist Party A or Socialist Party B, and you can make you can vote for the candidate, not of your choice, but of their choice, because they're running candidates on both political parties, and you better understand what's going on. Because if the American people don't recognize what's happening, then freedom as we've known it will soon become simply a remembrance of things past.
Right.
Well, Terry, you know, are you waking up people throughout the Los Angeles area? And what about all these other stations you're on? What sort of response are you getting from them?
Well, you know, Doc, it's a funny thing, but people are coming around. It's growing like you wouldn't believe. It really is.
All right, we've got Terry calling from Gilroy. Let's go to Terry. We've got time for a few calls before we go to the half hour, to the hour, and then Terry will be with us second hour. So let's go to Terry. Hi. So we've got Terry Anderson. We've got Terry from Gilroy. So let's go to Terry from Gilroy, okay?
Hi. I wonder if your guest could address the problem sort of from the top down and explain the connection and benefits to the military arm of the Catholic Church, the Jesuits, and their long-standing war against heretic nations. And I'll take the answer off the air.
All right. Well, of course, I think we're getting on to the fact that this is all a Jesuit conspiracy or a Catholic conspiracy. And do you want to tackle that at all?
I sure will. Right here in L.A., we have Cardinal Mahoney, who is one of the worst advocates of illegal immigration. He has created a sanctuary policy in the Catholic Church here. And I know some very good Catholics here. I'm not against them. But let me tell you something. Even they are angry at the policies of the Catholic Church now by giving sanctuary to illegal aliens. I mean, the Church should stay out of the business of national policy. What are they getting involved for? They have no voice in this.
Well, I agree with you totally, and I think they've got the tremendous infiltration of the Catholic Church, so then we got infiltration of the Protestant Church, and certainly the Jesuits, or as an organization, have been taken over by the radical left, and this is covered beautifully in Malachi Martin's book, The Jesuits. If you haven't read the book, I recommend it, but the Jesuits are not the only problem that we have in our society. We got problems in every branch of our society, in every race, and in every religion.
Well, you go around to these churches now, Protestant, Baptist, whatever, and you will see on every one of the walls, on the marquee, they have a English services on Sunday and Saturdays. Guess who they got? Either Korean or Mexican or whatever, and they're all making money off of it. They're happy these people are here because they can rent the church on Saturday now. It's not just the Catholics, it's all these religions.
Okay, well, let's go to Roger here. He's calling back again. Hi, Roger. Do you have another question?
Yes, thank you, gents. Phyllis Schlafly, at least, mentioned that the constitutional test for natural citizenship reads conjunctively, that is, born and within the jurisdiction of the United States.
Okay, what's the point you're trying to make?
Has your guest looked into that, pursued that much at all?
That's the 14th Amendment you just read from, and what happens is, the 14th Amendment was written for the children and descendants of slaves, okay? So that we, as descendants of slaves, would have a nationality. Because slaves didn't have a nationality, they were property. All right. 14th Amendment was written to protect us, so guess what? It wasn't written narrow enough to weed out these people, but these people are not under our jurisdiction. They are basically under the jurisdiction of the country that they come from. So why should they be citizens when they are born here? They shouldn't. We are the only country in the world that allows automatic citizenship to people born in the country illegally. And that's wrong. We've got Korean women who plan their vacations when they get to be 8 months pregnant. They come over here, they pay cash to the hospital. They come to the American hospital, they have their baby here, and as soon as that baby is able to travel, they get on a plane and go back to Korea, and when that child turns 18 years old, he has the option, as an American citizen, never spoke a word of English maybe, but he has the option as an American citizen who has never stood on this land to come here and bring his family with him. Something is wrong with that.
Amen. We got a lot of things wrong with it. Anything else, Roger?
God bless.
Bye-bye. Well, we're going to have to just remind our listeners out there across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you believe that there really is a problem in our society and you'd like to help us in our effort as we reach out across America through about 60 outlets every week, and that is radio and shortwave and internet and satellite, if you'd like to help us as we move out and try to bring people the information they're not going to get from the mainline radio, and they're only going to get it from people in the alternative radio, like Terry and a few of our other friends, why we hope many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And it's as simple as picking up your telephone and calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you'd like to verify the fact that it's the Ford Foundation that is funding this whole movement, why, of course, there's a book. It's called Importing Revolution. It's written by a congressional assistant to one of our congressmen. And then, of course, we carry a wonderful video put out by Glenn Spencer called The Conquest of Astland. That's us, the conquest of Aslan here in California, New Mexico, Arizona, Texas. That's Aslan. And the people from Mexico were told this is their land. It was stolen from them, and they're going to take it back. And they intend to take it back. And they're not going to pay people for their property. They're going to take it by force. Comes the Mexican Revolution. Now, it may never be a revolution as such, but this is how they're getting the support of people. Everybody would like to feel that, they're going to get something for nothing. And if you see people walking by your house and eyeing it, why, it may very well that they're picking out the house they want to live in. When they take over, the average person who is coming here illegally, in my estimation, is being used. They're not only being used by the Mexican leaders, but by our own leaders, who are far more powerful and far smarter. They understand how the dynamics of control. And the dynamics of control is always, have an enemy and then you can rally the people behind you. The people will give up their freedom, because they fear the enemy, as Plato wrote so well. When the tyrant has disposed of his enemies by conquest or treaty, and there is no longer any danger, then the tyrant is out creating another enemy so that he can rally the people behind him. And these are the techniques that our leaders know. They're truly Machiavellian. But there is, working behind the scenes at the highest levels of our government, organizations that are dedicated. They have no loyalty to America. Their loyalty is to control, to power, to the New World Order, to the New World Religion. And if you want to document this, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will give you the information you're not going to get elsewhere. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness book. And, of course, it comes with a video and with an audio tape, if you'd like to, or you can get just the book by itself. Or if you get the book and the audio tape as well, why, that's called the Brotherhood of Darkness Special. We hope many of you will want to get our video, Iraq, the Untold Story. And there's a syllabus that goes with it that has all the documents about how all of the wars of the last century were contrived. We give you the documents showing that in 1909, in the American Journal of History, they were already talking about the coming world war that was going to occur 5 years hence, that would be succeeded by the United Nations. And then, of course, Bertrand Russell, in his autobiography, talks about how he heard the planning for the First World War, which began in 1914, but he heard it in 1905 or 1906. It was all planned that way, just as the Iraq War was planned, at least in the 1998. And you can go to my website, read the material. Go to our syllabus and you read the material off the PNAC website, the Project for the New American Century website, 1998, why Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz are writing a letter to the President of the United States, Bill Clinton, saying we've got to overthrow the Iraqi regime. It was all cut and dried. They just needed an excuse. They needed a justification. And they had one when, of course, the planes struck the World Trade Center. Is that possibly why there were no planes to intercept them that morning? Is that why the people in the South Tower were ordered to stay at the desk, knowing full well another plane was coming to strike the South Tower? Is that why the doors to the roof were locked so that there was no escape of the people in the towers? Well, we'll be till tomorrow at the same time. May the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. Our special guest this evening is Terry Anderson, who's a talk show host from Southern California, who has the unique opportunity to be on the air every Sunday evening. At present time, he's on at 8 o'clock. He's going to be going to 9 o'clock. And is there any way that people across the country can get you? Is there an internet streaming for that program, Terry?
TerryAndersonShow.com.
Terry Anderson.
TerryAndersonShow.com.
All right,
and they can hear us live through the. They can either go to the KRLA site through there, or they can lock on to the CRN streaming audio. They can get us two ways. But yeah, they can hear us. We do a lot of internet listeners across the country. Absolutely.
Well, I think that's really so important. I think the internet gives us an opportunity to reach people, and I think more and more people are learning about internet streaming. And then, of course, I always tell them that, you know, there's. They get a little gadget down there at Radio Shack. They can plug it into their computer, and it's a little FM transmitter. They can go anywhere in the house and hear the program. They don't have to sit in front of the computer, and it's really great, so they can go ahead and work in the kitchen, and they can still listen to the Terry Anderson Show.
That's amazing stuff.
It really is. The technology we have, they're using it against us. We might as well use it in our favor as much as we possibly can.
I totally agree, Don.
So now, of course, as you tell the people, and you know, you get on more and more shows, and they begin to see this. I don't think this affects the average individual outside of perhaps down along the border states, and you know, of course, in the agricultural areas. I'm sure that a lot of the farmers are looking for a good source of cheap labor, and of course, aren't a lot of the illegal immigrants being actually picked up by these farm bosses who just truck them in at so much a head to work all day on the farms? Isn't
they,
that
they
a lot
do.
Of work?
They do. And let me tell you something. People say, well, who would pick the lettuce? Who would pick the strawberries if these illegal aliens weren't here? Well, you know what we would have done by now. Had we not had them, because let me before I give you the solution, they are a drain on our society because the employer gets them, he works them on the farm all day, he gives them no hospitalization, he gives them no benefits, no nothing, he pays them substandard wage. They need assistance, so they get it from welfare. They need food stamps. They get Section 8 housing. They get all of this from us as taxpayers, and the employer gets off with paying them a very little amount of money every day. They get a hospital stay from us. They get everything from the taxpayer, so we are subsidizing their stay here. Now, to keep from doing that subsidization, all we have to do is mechanize. We would have mechanized years ago if we didn't have this supply of cheap labor. And if these farmers don't want to pay an American wage, and believe me, if they paid a fair wage, Americans would be out there picking the beets and the turnips and everything else because people want to make a decent amount of money. 25% of all 75% of all produce is in transportation. The other 25% covers the seeds, the water, the tending of them, the culture, everything else they have to do scientifically, the harvesting, the picking, all of that stuff is in that 25%. People say that the price of our produce would double if they had to pay an American wage. It would go up maybe 1 or 2%, and we would not have that subsidy at the other end with the hospitalization and the welfare.
And I think that's really such an important thing to understand, that, you know, there are a lot of people who are Mexican, who are here legally, and they have worked in the fields. They have done this for many years. We have a lot of them work in the strawberry fields up here, and they make pretty good wages. They probably make $10-$12 an hour picking strawberries. It's on a piecework, but they know what they're doing. They do a good job, and But now, of course, they got the illegals coming in here that are undercutting them. This is the tragedy. And so the people who have been here for many years, and they came in legally, and many of them are citizens, and they've become part of our culture.
Doc, legal immigrants are some of the first people to suffer from illegal immigration. One of the champions of fighting illegal immigration, people never knew this, but it's not widely talked about, but Cesar Chavez. Cesar Chavez was vehemently against illegal immigration. You know why? Because he knew he would never get for his farm workers what he wanted, and that was a better wage, better housing, better benefits. He would never get that as long as the farmers had a steady stream of illegal aliens from Mexico who were willing to work for nothing. Now, as long as he had that, he could never get an advancement. So he would call the INS on illegal aliens sometime. He would help them do raids on farms where he knew they were working. This guy knew what was happening, and these were his own blood. These were Hispanics like him. But he knew this was not good for his people here, for the Americans. He knew they would never get an advancement. So it's just like with anything else. If you go along with it, and you use them, and I'm talking about the people that have them cutting their lawns, painting their houses, putting the roof on, you are the problem. If you are using these people, you are the problem. You are putting an American out of work. Lady across the street from me, very, very nice lady. And I asked her one day, I said, how come you always employ these Mexicans? Well, they work cheaper. She said, yeah, I want to employ black people, but they want to make too much money. I said, they want to make twice what the Mexican work for. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Would you work for what the Mexican works for? Well, no. Well, then why do you want your brother to work for what they work for? You're being a hypocrite. You are asking your fellow American to work for wages you would not accept. What's wrong with that? There's a problem here. People don't see the hypocrisy in it. They want everything as cheap as they can get it, and they don't want to spend anything. But they don't want to get paid that way. They want to get paid on a $20 an hour system, but they want to spend their money on a $3 an hour system.
Well, the tragedy is, the people are coming up here, they're desperate to work, and, you know, it's a very competitive situation, and if they can't get a job at $10 an hour, they'll take one at $3 or $4 an hour. Now, are there any rules and regulations as far as companies contractors hiring people they know are illegal? In other words, aren't we required by law to know that a person is here legally before we employ them? What are the status, and are the rules really enforced?
The Simpson-Mazzoli Act of 1986, that was the amnesty. One of the stipulations, you mentioned earlier about that amnesty, one of the main points I love when you said it, we were promised that this was a one-time deal. This was never going to happen again. Well, they're asking for it right now, but it was never going to happen again, and it was going to fix illegal immigration. We were going to have enough cheap labor and everything else. But one of the stipulations of that amnesty was that employer sanctions would be in place and any employer found hiring these people would be fined and or jail. Now, nobody's being prosecuted. You know why? That comes down from the Clinton administration and also comes down from the Bush administration. Do not prosecute the employers. They are not prosecuting these people. And that's the problem. So what I'm saying is that the statutes are on the books. It's right there. It says you must not employ these people, and you must find out if they're here legally, and nobody's doing it, and nobody's getting in trouble for it.
And if anything, it's so interesting, the rationale of a lot of the my contemporaries, people within the Christian movement, and they look at Bill Clinton, they say, what a hypocrite, he refuses to enforce the laws, and then they look at George Bush, who's doing exactly the same thing, and saying,
worse.
Well, he is compassionate, and he's a compassionate conservative, and that's why he's not enforcing the laws, and I say that, well, all I can say is, you judge a person not by what they say, but what they do.
That is partisan politics, and it's hypocrisy. George Bush, on immigration, George Bush is worse. He is worse than Clinton. Clinton never brought up amnesty. Clinton never had Cinco de Mayo on the White House lawn. Clinton never made promises to Vicente Fox. George Bush has done all of those things. George Bush was the governor of Texas. There's a town in Texas called El Cenizo, Texas. And this town, on George Bush's watch as governor, made it illegal for city officials to do business in English. You must do business in Spanish. If you're caught doing business in English, you will lose your job. Now, this was on George Bush's watch, so he is aware of the problem. Now, I know a lot of people out there listening to you right now are going to really hate me for speaking up against this guy, but on immigration, he's horrible. He's absolutely a disaster for this country. And you know what? They're going to say, well, he's better than Kerry. Well, like I always say, when you pick between the better of two evils, you get evil.
Amen to that. And I think that I'm glad you didn't use the analogy.
I figured you would appreciate it, Doc.
Well, anyway, that's sort of an inside joke between Terry and I. But I think it's important that we understand that there's really not a great deal of difference, although there's a great deal of perception that there's a great deal of difference. But I really honestly believe that if we'd had Al Gore as the president, we would not be in a war in Iraq, because there would have been tremendous opposition from the Republicans to going to war with Iraq, especially a preemptive strike when there was no legitimate reason to go to war. There was no threat from Saddam Hussein. If Saddam Hussein was going to use his chemical and biological weapons on America, why didn't he use them on our troops when, of course, we were attacking him? He could have used those weapons readily, and the thing was, he was afraid to use those weapons because he knew there'd be swift and total retaliation, and he's not, say what you will about Saddam, he's not a fool. So basically the threat was totally contrived. I guess there was an entirely different reason for going to war, but we're getting off the subject, which is, of course, illegal immigration, which is really having a devastating effect on our country. And, you know, Terry, the thing that really worries me is I think we're moving into very, very bad financial times in this next year or two. I think there's going to be a contraction in the economy. I think they're keeping things going artificially until after the election. I think they're manipulating the stock market after the election. I think that we're going to slip into a recession, perhaps a worldwide recession. And then we're going to have 8 million people here who are not going to have any jobs. And, of course, they're either going to be on the dole, or if the dole is taken from them, what do people do when they just don't have any money and they don't have any food and they don't have any lodging? And, of course, you get civil unrest and you get demonstrations. You almost have the foundation for revolutionary activity. And I don't think anybody's thought of the implications of all these people here who are here illegally. If they can't get their jobs, then what happens?
Amazing. What, you tell me?
Well, I was asking you. I sort of wanted you to pick up on that thought. If you thought about that at all, I can see real civil unrest in this country, or even on the part of the
Doc,
people. Go ahead,
Doc. I don't like to talk about this because people think that I'm advocating violence, and I'm not.
The last thing in the world we want is violence.
Right. But let me be honest. I predict violence. I think as bad as things have gotten, as bad as things are going to get. And you're right when you say that the next couple of years are going to be bad financially in this country. You're absolutely right. But let me just say this to you. If things keep going the way they are, and the illegal alien keeps doing better, and the American worker keeps doing worse, what do you think the American worker is going to do? He's going to take matters into his own hands when he sees that his party of Democrats is not going to help him, when he sees that his party of Republicans is not going to help him. You tell me what he's going to do. He's going to get angry, and he's going to go out there, and he's going to take something for himself. He's going to feed his family, that's for sure. He's going to feed his family, and if that takes violence, well, that's what it's going to take. I do not advocate it, but I do predict it, and I predict it in a relatively short time, because I get the emails from these angry people who are ready to do violence, and I'm always telling them, look, calm down. Let's see what we can get done here. We need just a little more push here and here and here. We can get something done, but calm down. But I can't hold them off forever.
Well, I agree with you. The last thing we want to do is see violence, because that would justify the implementation of martial law. And I believe that there are people who want martial law, who are making plans for martial law, who are building the camps. Why are they putting in $5 billion worth of camps, detention camps here in America? FEMA has actually got the contract out. They're getting the land and preparing them. They call it for civil unrest. What do they know that the average American doesn't know? Well, we're getting a little off the subject again. Our guest this evening is Terry Anderson. The subject is illegal immigration. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. You know, one of the things that really worries me, Terry, is a lot of the people coming in, you know, illegally are not having any medical checkups. Now, ordinarily, when people come in legally, they have to have a medical examination. If they have tuberculosis or other communicable diseases, why they're not allowed into the country. But when they come in illegally, they can bring tuberculosis, and we're having a resurgence of tuberculosis in along the southern border there. In fact, I've even heard that when the people come in here with tuberculosis, they're given the address of the local hospital to go to so they can get treatment, because they don't want to spend that money treating them in Mexico. And these people are weak and they can't work. Have you heard those stories?
Again, Very smart on Mexico's part. Very smart. Why should they spend the money when they've got Uncle Sap up here to do it for them? Yeah, I've heard the stories constantly. There's something like 19 diseases that we've stamped out in the last 100 years that are back now. Diseases that we have not had one case of in this country in years. And guess what? They're right upon us, and that's because we've got people coming in here, not checked. Don't get a physical check at Ellis Island or Angel Island or either end of this country, and they're coming in here with these diseases. And guess what? They're sitting in these classrooms. They're giving them to the teacher and the other students, and those kids and that teacher is taking it home and passing it out to their people, and it's going to spread through this country. I tell people all the time, there's a guy named Frosty Woolridge. I don't know if you've ever had him on your show. Frosty's from down in Colorado. He speaks extensively on this disease angle from this, and he's written a book about it. This guy knows his stuff on it. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of the stuff in his book will scare you. It will scare you because we are being lied to by this country. We are being told that nothing's happening here, and when you go in these hospitals and talk to these nurses, they're saying, lots happening here. But we're not being told. There's going to be a full-scale epidemic someday, and then somebody's going to say, how come you didn't tell us?
Well, let's go to Nathan, who's calling in here, and I bet that's Nathan from Contra Costa. Hi, Nathan. How are you doing?
How are you, gentlemen?
Doing just fine.
No, I must have missed something. Mr. Anderson, are you running for president on a third party?
No, sir.
Really?
I asked Terry if he was thinking of running for political office.
Well, are you 35 and born in this country?
Yes, he's a black man from Southern California.
Well, right.
Lives in an area used to be predominantly black, and now he's in the minority. It's predominantly Hispanic.
It's a pretty tough part of the city. It always was, but it's really tough now because there's a war going on here that people don't know. But you asked me, am I running for office? Dr. Stan called me this morning and asked me, was I running? I said, no, I'm opposed to prostitution. and I just would not want to work with the people I would have to work with to be in political office. But you know what? I think I can do more good this way.
I can understand.
I really do.
I'm a little disappointed you're not running, but I can understand. Listen, you gentlemen mentioned a little time before these camps that are being built and martial law and all the rest of it. Mr. Anderson, I don't know how familiar you are with it, but I can say for myself, I've noticed strange structures that are being erected, you know, and I don't want to jump to any paranoid conclusions because I really don't know. But you seem to be very knowledgeable in patriot subjects and in constitutionalist subjects.
Well, we really didn't want to get into that. So
okay. I've heard the stories about the FEMA camps, and I mean, you know, I don't know. I haven't seen them, but I have no reason to doubt it, you know, because I know how this country operates now. It's a terrible thing. And I think someday what we're going to have is martial law in this country because the American people are going to rise up on many issues, but I think mainly on this immigration issue. They're going to rise up on this, then we're going to have martial law, and then you're going to see those camps fill up with guess who? American citizens.
And well, I think if you want to see the pictures of them, we have them in the amazing clips or the video behind America Behind Barbed Wire. So we have actually two videos on that. The amazing clips really is amazing because you'll hear the exchange at the Rand Cantor hearings where Congressman Jack Brooks tries to bring out the facts about the effort, the plan to suspend the Constitution in case of a national emergency, and he keeps being interrupted by Senator Inouye, who doesn't want to get that out to the American people. And then you'll hear Congressman Henry Gonzalez, former chairman of the House Banking Committee, saying the only person who really got close to the truth was Congressman Jack Brooks, and there really is a plan in case of a terrorism here in America to arrest American citizens and put them into concentration camps. And then you'll see pictures of the camps. But that's a little off the subject, Nathan.
Well, let me just say one last thing, and I'll go.
Immigration issue.
Oh, just one last thing, and I'll go. I'm glad you brought up the fact that Cesar Chavez and a number of Hispanic activists always opposed illegal immigration. They always believed, wanted to advance their people as Americans.
And let me say this before you go. 38% of the people that support the Terry Anderson Show are American Hispanics and some immigrants.
Here, here.
We've got some good folks out there.
We've got an awful lot of them. Thanks so much,
Thank
Nathan.
You.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. And we'll be to Richard in Portland, Oregon in just a moment here. But right now we're going to have to take a quick break so we can stay on the air. We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Terry Anderson, and we have Richard calling from Portland, Oregon. Richard, how are you listening to us, on the Internet or shortwave?
This is the Internet.
Okay, fine. Does you have a question or comment?
Well, I had a comment. I don't know if it's on topic or if anyone even wants to hear it, but I was reading one time about a study done by The Hague over in Europe, Western Europe, and they discovered back in the 60s that when you try to merge peoples of different ethnic backgrounds, it does result in violence. And, you know, if that is the plan, then people should avoid violence because it would result in some kind of martial law, probably UN troops. But the other point I wanted to make, besides that Hague study in the 60s, was a book I read at the library about banking, and it talked about the Ford Foundation and a fellow named Sidney Weinberg from Goldman Sachs, who was involved in setting the direction of the Ford Foundation. So there's people running the Ford Foundation with these certain objectives.
And let me just say something. You know, you guys keep talking about the Ford Foundation. You're dead right. But they ain't the only ones. GM, Toyota, Nissan, Budweiser, Coors, all of these companies are giving money to these organizations just like the Ford Foundation. Every one of them.
And of course, what Terry's talking about is Moldave, Lulac, La Raza.
Right.
And so here all your great corporations are joining in with the Ford Foundation. The Ford Foundation is the prominent one,
right,
but they're all part and parcel,
right,
of this movement. So anything else, Richard?
That was it. Just those 2 points, and I appreciate your program a lot.
Good. Well, thank you so very much for listening. I hope you'll just keep telling people up there in Portland to listen. Do you listen to our Saturday program on KKPZ?
I don't. I didn't. Well, I guess might have even been a year ago I heard about it, but then I kind of lost track of it. That's KKPZ.
KKPZ, and I think it's at either 12 or 1 o'clock every Saturday. Okay?
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much. And I got to put a plug in for the station up there in Oregon. It's Portland, Oregon, where we have our program every week. Well, Terry, you know, there are a lot of people out there. We see the evidence of people out there, who are concerned. And I think that your concerns and my concerns, you know, are expressed by an awful lot of people, but they really don't have a voice. And so, if they don't hear you or me, they have this feeling, well, I'm all alone, and see, I don't want to be called a racist, because if I'm against Hispanic immigrants, why, suddenly that, but nobody's against Hispanic immigrants who are coming in illegally. It's the people who are coming in illegally. And,
right.
And isn't it amazing how they will sort of confuse immigration with illegal immigration and lump them all in together?
Well, you know, that's why it is so important that we use the correct terminology, that we say illegal aliens, because if we call them illegal immigrants, then all they do is drop the one word, and then what do we have? We have immigrants. I have seen organizations like Barbara Coe and Glenn Spencer listed as anti-immigrant. I threatened Channel 9 here with TV channel here in L.A. with a lawsuit, because I was at a rally, and they interviewed me, and under my name it says anti-immigrant activist, and I call them up and says, print a retraction the next day or I'll sue you, and they did. They printed a retraction saying we mistakenly call him anti-immigrant. He's anti-illegal immigration. And it's a longer thing to say. It doesn't roll off the tongue real nice like anti-immigrant. But anti-immigrant is incorrect, because we are not anti-immigrant. We are against illegal immigration. And illegal aliens are not immigrants.
Hold that thought for just a moment. We'll be right back here with our other station. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Terry Anderson, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Like to know how you feel about the subject we're talking about. And of course, we're talking about not immigration, we're talking about illegal immigration, because we're all at one point or another immigrants to this country. Certainly my father's side of the family came over from Scotland probably 4 or 5 generations ago, but they were immigrants, and I'm this descendant of immigrants, and I dare say almost everybody here, unless they're full-blooded immigrant, I mean full-blooded Indian, are the children of immigrants. So there's nothing wrong with immigration. In fact, the people who came to America usually were the more industrious people. They weren't the people who were willing to sit around and bemoan the fact in Ireland that there wasn't enough food to eat, or they weren't willing to sit around and bemoan the problems that existed in Europe and the wars that were going on over there. They had the gumption to pick up and leave. A lot of them came to this country so their sons wouldn't be conscripted, drafted into the armies that carry out the foolish wars that they had in Europe. And they came here for opportunity and for freedom. And so we've really got some of the finest people from throughout the world, certainly the most industrious people came here, and they learned the language, and they became part of our society.
That was the first thing they wanted to do, Doc, was become Americans. We don't have that today. Now we've got this dual citizenship with Mexico. They can come here. Even Mexicans who are third, fourth, fifth generation can become Mexican citizens now with dual citizenship. And guess what? Once they do that, they can vote in Mexican elections. And if they have that kind of allegiance to a foreign country, I don't care what country they're becoming dual citizens to, I would throw them out of this country. I would kick them out the day they sign the papers to become a dual citizen. What's wrong with us as a country that we accept this? This is insanity.
I don't really understand. Can I be a dual citizen? Can I be a citizen of the United States and of Great Britain or the United States and Germany?
Probably not.
Do I have a dual citizenship?
Great Britain probably won't allow it.
I see.
But Mexico not only allows it, they just began it about 3 years ago. Not only do they allow it, they advocate it. They're going into the communities, into the colleges and the high schools, seeking out Hispanic kids and saying, do you want to be a citizen of Mexico? Well, I was born here. That doesn't matter. You can still be a Mexican citizen. This is amazing. And guess what? We think it's just the greatest thing in the world.
Well, could an American, though, be a dual citizen? In other words, I'm born here in America, I'm an American citizen, and if I wanted to become a dual citizen in Mexico so I could own land there, or are this totally racist if I don't have a Gonzalez after my name or something of the sort, or Lopez, I would be excluded?
Yes, you would be excluded. You have no Mexican heritage, as I have none, so therefore we would be excluded.
Well, it's just amazing. Talk about racism. That, of course, if you call them racist, why immediately they will counterattack. Well, right now, is this Roger once again?
Yes, thanks, gents. Sorry, pardon my hog. I wanted to ask, just as you mentioned about not being willing to prostitute yourself for the sake of political office, is this becoming a nationwide phenomenon or just in the Northeast, specifically New York City, where apparently these civil wrongs leaders who just a couple years ago were opposed to the illegal immigration as undermining minority employment for the same reasons you cited earlier, apparently they put their moistened fingers back up in the wind, and now they're regarding this as the next logical extension of the civil rights movement.
Oh, yeah. That's all over the country. That's nationwide. They liken this new movement of illegal aliens to get driver's licenses and in-state tuition. They liken that to the civil rights movement of the 60s, where it was black folks trying to get the right to vote and live where they want to live. You know, the difference is, Roger, we were American citizens. And if you really want to get technical, we were brought over here. Nobody asked to come here. We were brought over here. Most of us are descendants of people who were kidnapped and brought over here. But guess what? I harbor no grudge toward the country or any of your ancestors or anybody else. So forget that end of it. But we were brought over here. We are now American citizens, and we were asking for the same benefits that other American citizens had. We had the same language, the same basic culture. But these people, rather than being brought over here, these people have snuck into our country. They do not want to be Americans. They do not want to speak our language. They do not want to absorb our culture. They want nothing to do with our government. All they want is the goodies that we have to offer, and they want to be able to send some of that money back home. That's not Americanism. You cannot liken that to the civil rights movement. No.
God bless, gents.
Bye-bye, thank you. And, of course, the thing is that, there is no way we can afford to provide all these things for all the people here illegally. If it weren't that the government was doing everything they could to encourage this, it would dry up. The people couldn't get the welfare, they couldn't get the housing, they couldn't get free education, subsidized medical care. If they had to actually support themselves, they wouldn't be able to be sending, some $60 billion a year out of this country to their families. We got a real problem. We got a lot of people in key positions who have a different allegiance, not to America, but to a different way of life. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Terry Anderson, and we're talking about the problem of illegal immigration. And if you're out there in the listening audience, why give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, because I think this is such a vitally important issue. You know, there's so many things that we fix our attention on, and sometimes I'll have to admit that I don't pay as much attention to illegal immigration as I should, because I see all of the other things, and what's going on over in Iraq is certainly captures our imagination. We tend to focus on that without really realizing that in many ways it is a massive distraction, because while our attention is focused overseas, why we lose our freedom here at home. And I think it was Charles Lindbergh who said, you know, men who go overseas to fight for freedom, speaking of our fighting man who goes overseas to fight for freedom, will eventually find that they've lost freedom here at home. And I think Lindbergh was actually absolutely right. It happened during the First World War when we lost freedom. It happened during the Second World War when we lost more freedom. We lost our maximum freedom during Vietnam when they brought in the did away with the McCarran Immigration Act, and the Supreme Court, under the cover of the Vietnam War, was able to take God and prayer out of our schools and find a woman had a right to abortion, and of course centralize all power in Washington D.C. and got our Constitution. But our attention wasn't focused on what was happening at home. We didn't see the great society coming in, the great new departures in health and education and welfare. The welfare state, the great society, came in as our boys were overseas, supposedly fighting to preserve our way of life, and our way of life changed forever. And, of course, and now as we focus our attention on the war in the Middle East and the tragedy and the men are coming home, and a lot of them are coming home very ill, and you're not hearing that. But I heard a report today given to me by my friend David Bay. 44% of the young men coming home in this one unit are ill, and they're ill because of the diseases, whether it was depleted uranium or some of the diseases inherent in Iraq, or whether it is some of the vaccines. We don't know what it is. And believe me, the Veterans Administration has no intention of finding out. But already there are over 22,000 veterans who are not wounded in action. They've just got aches and pains and severe disability. And they're trying to get into veterans' hospitals for treatment. And they're really not getting much in the way of treatment today. Well, our attention is focused overseas. We're losing our freedom here at home. And one of the reasons we're losing our freedom is because of the illegal immigration. And we'll be back in just a moment. Dr. Stan here of Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Terry Anderson, who, of course, is one of the experts on this field. He does a program every Sunday evening on this, and you can pick him up there if you'd like to. It's the TerryAndersonShow.com. Is that the right address, Terry?
TerryAndersonShow.com, yes, sir.
TerryAndersonShow.com. That's every Sunday evening at 8. And you say you'll be moving to 9 o'clock soon?
On the 20th of June.
All right, fine. Is that a better time or worse time?
It's worse for us, but that's another story. We will lose the East Coast. We have a lot of listeners back there, and we're going to lose them because it'll be midnight. And the other thing is some of our syndication goes down the drain now because we can't align with some of the stations that we have because they have other programming at that next hour.
Well, that's the same.
Yeah, it is. And we built this thing up in 3.5 years, and someday off the air I'll tell you why and how it happened.
All right, fine. Well, let's not get into that because we want to really stick.
No.
I'm sure this very real problem that we're facing today, a problem that is bankrupting our schools across the state of California, and I'm sure along the border states, is bankrupting our hospitals, and of course that additional expense is passed on to you, and then you wonder why your hospital bill is so ridiculous. And, of course, it is having an impact, certainly, on the wages that are being paid to people who are here legally. And they're really being forced out of so many of the jobs that they've had before. And certainly we know that there was a lawsuit recently about Tyson meatpacking and people working in the meatpacking
plant. Well, that's been ongoing for 10 years with Tyson. They are one of the biggest perpetrators of hiring illegal aliens in the country. You know, and it's not just the poultry industry. It's the construction industry. The state of Georgia lost 100,000 construction jobs to illegal aliens last year. Just in one year, 100,000 construction jobs went to illegal aliens from Americans of all races. I just got an email just now from a buddy of mine. His name is D.A. King. You might want to have him on your show. He's from the American Resistance Foundation in Atlanta, Georgia. And they're fighting illegal immigration down there. And he forwarded me an email from a guy. Listen to, I'm just going to read you a part of it, Doc. It's okay for the radio. It says, "Hey, white man, I'm a Mexican and I love it. Your stupid government officials would sell their souls for a few dollars. That is why Mr. Bush will do anything Fox says, because he owes us. We are going to take your country over, and there's nothing you can do about it. You white pigs are having your elected officials do our work for us here in Viva Old Mexico. We will take over your country state by state, and you cannot stop us." And then it gets into some profanity I won't read. But this was sent to my friend in Georgia, and he just sent this to me 2 minutes ago. This is some of the emails that I get, he gets, we all get from these people that believe that we can be conquered by a foreign country. Now, I'm not telling you that all Mexicans down there want to take us over. I went to Mexico 3 times last year. I went, and I didn't go to Puerto Vallarta and all these resorts. I went to Guadalajara. I went to Mexico City. I went to Veracruz. I went to a little small town called Tapalpa. I went down there to get a better understanding of how they feel about Americans. And I got a real good look. And I'm going to tell you something. Most of those people down there are good, clean, hardworking folks. And they want to stay in their country. They don't want to come here. But the ones that come here, the bottom of the barrel, the Mexicans are glad to get rid of them. And they come here believing that they can conquer us. And guess what? They're not far off. They're doing a pretty good job in what they call Aslan. Aslan is California, New Mexico, Utah, Arizona, Texas, and half of Colorado. And they believe they can take this southwestern part of the country, and they're doing a pretty good job so far.
And I think, you know, the incredible thing, you know, is that the average American doesn't believe it can happen. And yet,
when you tell it to them, their eyes glaze over and say, "Yeah, right." And I thought that same way 10 years ago. When I used to hear Glenn Spencer talk about how we're being conquered and we're being invaded, I said, "This guy's a nut." But you know what? As I read more about it, I said, "You know what? This guy's a genius." And he was right. He was a prophet. He saw it before the rest of us. And he's right. They are taking us over. Look how many we have now in our state legislature who are willing to vote for in-state tuition, willing to vote for driver's license and acceptance of the matricular consular card. Hispanic politicians who are loyal to Mexico. How about Hispanic politicians that get on podiums, and when the national anthem is played, they sit down, and when the Mexican anthem is played, they stand up and put their hands over their hearts. People born in this country. It is unbelievable. It is unbelievable, the attitude and the loyalties of some of these people who were born American and have no loyalty to our country, and they are growing. They are growing. Now we've got this Luis Gutierrez. He's a congressman out of Chicago. This guy wants full amnesty for only Mexicans. No Europeans, no Africans, nobody, no Salvadorans, only Mexicans, because guess what he is? He's a Mexican. Tell me, is that racist? Nationalist, whatever you want to call it. But that's what we've got now. We've got people who are native-born to this country and have a loyalty outside these borders.
And, of course, the people here in California, they've sworn to uphold our Constitution, they're members of our state legislature, and they lied. They have no loyalty to America.
None.
They have no loyalty to our Constitution. Their loyalty is to the Mexican racist agenda. And it is a racist agenda. Now,
what it is.
The only good thing I can say is there are an awful lot of good Mexicans here who
Absolutely.
Love this country, who want to be Americans. The last thing they want to do is bring Mexico to the United States, because they know that when that comes poverty and the loss of individual freedom. You can just go right across the border. I mean, you can go from San Diego down to Tijuana, Mexico. It's like, you know, going from one society into another. It's just a complete difference. And it's not that there's any difference in the land. It's not even any difference in the people. It's the form of government that they have down there that really is an elitist government. You have the ruling elite. You have some very small middle class. And you've got a lot of impoverished people. And that's the end result of this type of government they have. Corruption is a way of life. The police are corrupt. The military is corrupt. And that is what will happen if they ever succeed in taking over this country. And I think the average Mexican who is here, a Hispanic who is here, who wants to be an American, he realizes that.
Yes.
He doesn't want it to happen.
Well, that's what gets me. They talk about conquering Aslan and conquering the rest of this country. Well, you're going to make it into the third world that you just ran away from. Why did you come here? If you wanted a third world, you could have stayed there. Doc, when I was there, I talked to cab drivers. I talked to police officers. desk clerks at the hotel, bellhops. I talked to the guys in the parking garage. I talked to people on the street. I talked to the sky caps. I talked to everybody, okay? And I got one outline, thought that all of them had. Every one of them gave me the same thought. You know what it was? You just mentioned it a minute ago. They all told me Mexico is a corrupt country. I didn't coax that out of them. I never asked them, was your country corrupt? They all volunteered that to me. To a person, they volunteered that to me. So they know where they're living. They know what it is. And when they come here, a lot of them that come here come with that same corruption. That's why 30% of our federal inmates are illegal aliens, and 25% of the inmates in California state prisons are illegal aliens, because they come here with a corrupt, lawless attitude. And that's not to say all Mexicans are lawless. They're not. But the ones that come here seem to be the bottom of the barrel.
Well, those who come in legally will be the upper class, the kind that we really would want here and welcome and encourage
them
to come.
Absolutely. And end up being some of our best citizens. Some of the very best citizens, because you and I were born here, they picked our country, and they wanted to be a part of it, and they wanted to be Americans, and those I honor and welcome here.
Well, I think that what we need to do is get the average American to understand that we are being, once again, betrayed by the people in Washington, D.C., and it's not the Republicans, it's not the Democrats, it is the politicians who have no loyalty either to the party or to the country, but many of them are the finest politicians money can buy. The others certainly go along with this internationalist dream, but be that as it may, they are the people who are making the laws, who are betraying the trust of their constituents, and also are betraying this country that has offered so many people so much benefit for such a long period of time. But countries can be lost, and when there are not enough people who are willing to take a stand to preserve them, then, of course, freedom as we know it will be no longer here.
You mentioned a few minutes ago that people aren't going to believe this could happen. Well, the truth of the matter is, there was a time, if you would have told the aristocrats in France, you know what, in about a week you're going to lose your head. What would you have heard from them? You must be crazy. I'm an aristocrat. Nobody's going to cut my head off. They're not going to cut my head off. Well, guess what? They lost their heads. Or if you'd have told people, guess what? We're going to get bombed by the Japanese. People would have said, no way. It happened. This is the first time in history that this country has ever been in a position to collapse and be taken over, and people think it can never happen, and that is why we are so vulnerable. I'm getting emails right now from people who are listening to your show. They're hearing me right now, and they're sending me emails.
I know there's people of well, I'm glad you are. In fact, we've got a lot of faithful listeners out there across America, and I hope that they'll become faithful listeners to your program, because Sunday evening, we're not on. That's the only evening or only day that we're not on, and so I'm glad that they'll maybe even get started listening to Terry Anderson's show.
No conflict of interest.
No conflict of interest. And, so many people feel that we're competing with one another, the various talk shows, and I say, no, we're not competing. We all have a goal. I believe the people who are involved in talk radio like you and my friend John Loeffler and Chuck Chrismeyer in the East and Stan Solomon in the Middle West, and I can think of a dozen ministries across this country where people are on talk radio and they're giving up a lot of time and a lot of effort, and sometimes they have to give up their income, but they're doing what they're doing because they believe in America. And this realization that America can be lost, people out there and the listening audience have to understand that freedom is not free. It has to be purchased with every generation. And we're not going to purchase it by going overseas and killing a lot of poor, innocent Iraqi civilians or poor, innocent Iraqi soldiers who are feel that they're defending their own country. The battle is here in the United States. And our job is, of course, to stand tall, not with weapons. Our weapons is the truth. Our weapons are facts. Our weapons is to try to reach the people and use talk radio, which I think is our best means of reaching the people as long as we have the freedom to speak.
I agree. Totally.
Well, tell me now, Terry, do you have any suggestions as to any legislation that we should be backing at the present time, any specific bills that would be important?
First of all, there are no bills right now. The one thing was 3722. That was Rohrabacher's bill. That's gone. We need to call Arnold Schwarzenegger and tell him, Mr. Governor, do not give driver's licenses to illegal aliens. Do not do it. If you do it, we will dust off our recall and we will get you. I mean, this guy is going to do it if we don't put the pressure on him. That's number one. We should be asking our state officials to stop this nonsense with this matricular consular card. I mean, this card is meant for illegal aliens, and our banks are accepting it. Now our government agencies in some cities are accepting it. The police are accepting it. This is insanity. How can we accept an identification from somebody foreign? This is what we need to, but the main thing right now, Doc, the main thing is this driver's license. The Latino caucus in the California Senate and Assembly is pushing now, and they are telling Arnold, if you don't do this, we're going to turn on you, and we want it done now. We want driver's licenses. They say it is so we'll have a safe highway. But tell me if this sounds like we're going to have a safe highway. They offered them a license that would allow the illegal aliens to drive, but it had a stipulation on the license that says this person is in the country illegally and cannot use this identification for identification. Okay? They said, oh, no, we don't want that. That's like wearing the Star of David in Nazi Europe. We don't want that. We want a license like everybody else. Well, if you're really interested in safety, you will take a license any way you can get it. This is not about driving safely on the highways and people having insurance. This is about a breeder document for these people that they can use to get other things, to get services, to be accepted more readily in this country, to get on an airplane, to buy a firearm. All of these things they can do with legal tender identification in the state of California. And that's why they want it. And that's why they're pushing for it so hard, because it is a quasi-amnesty for the people that look like them, sound like them, and have the same loyalties that they have. So we should be against this driver's license now. That is the main thing in the state of California.
Well, I don't know why they're really worried about the safety on the highways. They're allowing the Mexican trucks to come in here, a Mexican trucks that could never pass our pollution controls, never pass our safety controls, driven by people who don't understand our road signs, and we can no way can't even restrict these trucks from coming in, and of course they're not even searched how much many drugs are coming in of these drugs. But that's all, of course, thanks to our present administration, is really refuses to protect our borders, is supporting the NAFTA concepts that were never passed by Congress. It simply was put down as a trade, and I should say it's not a treaty, it's simply a trade agreement, because they knew they couldn't get the two-thirds majority for a legal treaty, and so they've just circumvented our Constitution, and they're allowing people to come into this country with their trucks, that are unsafe on the highways. So, you know, they're really not concerned about safety on the highways. This is this whole idea of using safety as a justification for the driver's license is simply hypocrisy. They, as you say, they want simply a little bit at a time to gradually erode the difference between people who are here legally and illegally. And what a great advantage it is to be able to come to America, to have all of the benefits of this country, and of course, at one time when you came to this country as an immigrant, you had to promise you would never go on welfare.
Right.
That's no longer the case. We are actually doing everything we can to attract them. I mean, if I was living south of the border, I would want to come to America where I could get food stamps and welfare, and
right,
I could get housing, and I could get free medical care. What a wonderful opportunity to benefit from the system. And anybody who would be dumb enough to give it to me, why, I would be foolish not to accept it. And the only question is, why are we dumb enough to do what we're doing, unless there are people who have a different agenda, who march to a different drumbeat, who hear a different trumpet, who dream a different dream, who have a different loyalties than the average American citizen.
We got to get smart, Doc. We've got to get smart. We have to protect our own interests, not from some foreign country a million miles away. Yeah, we got to fight terrorism if there's terrorism, and we got to fight enemies if there's enemies. But we also got to be smart, and we've got to fight these invaders that are right here on our border. We have to do it.
It's not the invaders. It's the people in Washington, D.C. and in Sacramento who are encouraging the invasion.
Well,
this is what's so incredible.
I agree with you to an extent. I am deathly against our politicians, but I'm also against that guy that straps up his shoes and invades my country and then tells me he's going to take me over. I've got a little grudge with him, too.
Well, you're perfect right to have a grudge with him, but he would never be able to get in here if it weren't for those politicians who are betraying us.
Absolutely. I totally
and,
agree.
Of course, I think that we ought to... do you have a list of all those major corporations that are selling us out and supporting the illegal immigrants?
I don't have the list. You can get it from Glenn Spencer.
All right, fine. Well, we'll get hold of Glenn, and we'll get him on again, because I think it's so important that everybody in the listening audience gets that list, and we're going to get it. We'll publish it, make it available to you. And then I want all of our people in our listening audience to start writing to these corporations and saying, Mr. General Motors, or whoever you are, we're going to let everybody know just how you're betraying this country. Are you opening your plants over there in China? We could excuse that. But financing illegal immigration, and of course we can go right down that list. Coors, supposedly a conservative, a Christian, brewery, and they're funding illegal immigration.
Yes,
maybe we ought to let the American people know what they're really doing, because they're flying under false covers. They're pretending to be a Christian organization, and they're certainly not.
They're financing lawlessness.
Amen to that. Well, we've got about 3 minutes here before we have to let you go. And so, Terry, for 3 minutes, how would you like to wrap up this evening's marathon program?
Well, first of all, Doc, I want to thank you for having me on. I hear so much good stuff about you and your show that you've got some real devoted fans out there. I appreciate you letting me bring this on. And let me just say this. I'm pretty focused on this issue. And I think, and there's lots of other things. You're right. There's China. There's New World Order. There's plenty of stuff. And it's all connected. But I figure that I can do the best job on illegal immigration by staying focused. And I keep a tight focus. People call me all the time. Well, you should talk about this. You should talk about that. I'm anti-abortion. I am pro-constitution. But I don't talk about those things because I am focused very tightly on this issue, because it gets so little airtime and it's such a big issue. And I think we all need to take this seriously. We need, when our parties, be it Republican, Democrat, whatever, ask us for money, no. I will write you a check when you close the border. My pocketbook opens when you close the border. I have people that send checks to my show, and I suggest they do it to yours, and tell your political party, I gave your money to the Terry Anderson Show. I gave your money to Dr. Stan. And you will get a donation from me when you get up front on this issue. That's what we've got to do.
Well, tell you what, why don't you put your address out where people can, if they'd like to, contribute to the Terry Anderson program, will know where to send their check.
Well, they can go to our website and get it there, but I can give it right now. It's the Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. And Doctor, we invited you to our get together. We're having a get together on the 12th of June. We invited you to come give a speech if you could at all make it. We'd like to have you there.
Well, I would love to be there, but unfortunately I have a Saturday radio program to do.
I do because
I have my pre-recorded program, but I have a Saturday program, and it's a major radio station here in the Central Coast of California, and there's no way I could come. But
I would totally love
to be there, because I support what you're doing. And you know, Terry, I've learned a lot of things this evening. I cannot be an expert on everything.
No, you can't.
But I can go to you, and you really have zeroed in on the problem, and you know what the answers are. And so when I get you onto my program, I learn a lot more about illegal immigration, so I can get this out on my other programs.
Well, I know a lot about it because I study, I read, I'm tightly focused. And another thing I tell people all the time, when they say, well, it's not that big a problem, if you lived in South Central or if you lived down on the border, you wouldn't say that.
I know, and of course, when you got chickens and goats on the streets there of Los Angeles, that must be very, very disconcerting for you.
It is. Not to mention the loud parties and the overcrowded schools and everything else.
Well, God bless you, Terry, and thank you so very much
for
being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed our special guest this evening, Terry Anderson. He's worthy of your support. He's worthy of your contribution. Like myself, he's just decided he was going to do something. His medium is radio, and I will tell you, he is one of the most entertaining speakers you've ever heard. If you ever have a chance to hear him give a talk, do it. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I just need to take this time to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And we, of course, have to raise the funds on a weekly basis to meet the radio bills and all the other things that we do. But what a unique opportunity it is to be able to be heard all across America. 5 hours every day, and certainly the first hour of our evening program is heard on 10 stations, sometimes 11 stations, and then, of course, on shortwave and on the Internet, and the general Genesis Network and the American Freedom Network and the Radio Liberty Network. We are reaching people. We had calls from Denmark today, a gentleman who listens to our program. That was on the afternoon program. So we know that they're out there, they're listening, and our listening audience is growing. There's a lot to be encouraged about. Don't let them get you discouraged, and don't focus on any one issue. There are lots of problems. The Jesuits are a problem. Their banking is a problem. The great tax exempt foundations, the great corporations, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, the Skull and Bone Society, and then some of the smaller organizations like the Priory of Sion or the Rosicrucians or the Theosophists. Or we could go down through the list of all of the various organizations, but they're bound together by a common goal and objective, a new world order and a new world religion, and behind them are the dark spiritual forces intent upon destroying America, because America was once a Christian nation. America was once a beacon of hope for the entire world. It was the city on the hill. It was the offered the promise of freedom to all men and all nations. And how far we've come from that today, as we barely have a politician who's willing to get up and say publicly, if not above a hushed voice, that this is a Christian nation, knowing full well that if you were to say that loudly, why, you would be attacked by the conservative media and by the liberal media and by the people in government and by the people of great wealth, and your political career, if you were a politician, would soon be ended. Because the last thing people are to know is that we were founded as a Christian nation on Christian principles by Christians who wanted this to be a Christian republic. Not that everybody had to be a Christian, because Thomas Jefferson wrote he wanted Hindus and he wanted people of other faiths to be able to live here, but they would be here and they would be tolerated because we were a Christian nation. If you were a Jew, you tried to go to a Muslim nation today, they'd simply kill you. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't have full of rights in many countries in the world today. In America, you do, because Christianity is a tolerant religion. But we're going to have to stand up and say we are not going to continue to allow the erosion of the foundation of this nation, because if we destroy this nation, then there will be no beacon, there will be no hope for people throughout the world. Please consider seriously joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. You'll get our video, Iraq, The Untold Story. You'll get some of the new materials we're putting out, our new four-tape set, Islam, the Religion of Doom, or the Prophet of Doom. And you need to get the new video we've just put out on sustainable development, a new video we've just put out on Iraq, the Road to World War III. I'm going to go in and watch it this evening. We have a supply of those that just came in. It's a talk I gave about 2 weeks ago. I haven't even seen it yet, but I'm sure it's going to be well done. So our plea to you is understand, get our material. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders, our ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. I hope you enjoyed the program this evening. Until tomorrow, well, until Thursday, tomorrow we'll have a Freedom 21 Santa Cruz doing the program. But on Thursday we'll be back again with a fascinating lineup, and you'll certainly want to be listening to our lineup on Friday. We've got two great, great speakers. Until then, this is Dr. Stan saying goodnight, and may the Lord be with you.